It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to best-selling American author Chuck Palahniuk about his latest novel, Doomed.
But first, an amendment to Wisconsin's constitution would make it harder to recall state and local office holders.
If the amendment passes, politicians could only be recalled if they were charged with a felony or an ethics violation.
This potential constitutional change just passed the Wisconsin Assembly's Elections Committee, making it one step closer to being a reality.
And we'll take your calls on this in just a few minutes. Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should it be harder to recall elected officials in Wisconsin? Or do you not like the idea? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Mordecai Lee joins us now. He's a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. Mordecai, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, what do we know so far about this proposed constitutional amendment?
Well, the proposed constitutional amendment is trying to thread the needle very carefully because what's left unstated is that in Wisconsin, anybody, any elected official who's convicted of a felony automatically loses office. And so when you think about what the proposal tries to cover, there isn't that much room. And they're talking about accused of a crime or accused of an ethics violation. I think we can easily understand that just because somebody is accused of something doesn't necessarily make them guilty of something. And that sort of leads me to the more general point, and one that Rob is familiar with from my earlier conversations with him, and that's that I'm philosophically against recalls. It's hard for me to think of a situation that would justify a recall. And in part, I suppose that's one of the flaws of this constitutional amendment, and that's that, well, they're going to lose office if they're convicted of a felony anyway.
Well, give us a little bit of a sense of the why behind this, then, given that you automatically lose your office if you're convicted of a felony. Why do we need this?
I think that's arguable. I'm against recalls, period. It seems to me that recalls take us more towards a kind of a parliamentary form of government, where governments rise and fall on an unpredictable basis, and that the American form of government is based on fixed terms. And in fact, it was interesting to me that when Governor Walker was facing a recall, there were a layer of voters who were answering public opinion polls who were saying that, well, they're not sure they agreed with Act 10, they're not sure they agreed with the record of Governor Walker, but they were against recalling him. And I sort of like that spot. That's a good spot to be in, from my personal opinion. Now, just because I'm a professor of government, that doesn't make my opinion more right than anybody else. And I certainly hope that we'll have some calls, people saying that recall is always justified. And the last thing I'd add is that going back into Wisconsin history, why is it that our Constitution includes a section that does permit recalls? That really goes back to the La Follette Progressive era, where what they were mostly afraid of was people who would run for office and get elected as progressives. And then once they got to Madison, they would flip and become sort of pro-business conservative Republicans. In those days, they were called stalwarts. And so there was a kind of an ideological background to why they liked recalls. It wasn't so much oriented towards misbehavior in office.
Well, what are the Democrats saying? I get the sense that the argument against this is that it would limit the rights of citizens and that we need this leverage in our democracy as a failsafe.
I think you're right, Veronica. You've really put your finger on it. That's going to be the argument, and that's that if people are elected, then they should be subject to recall, that if public opinion changes, if they do something people don't like, then they should be recalled. And absent this constitutional amendment, using the current language of the Constitution, there's no need to give an explanation for the reason of the recall. In other words, there's no threshold that you have to cross. And that's as it applies to state elected offices and I believe to federal members of Congress. When it comes to recalls in Wisconsin for local elected officials, that's subject not to the Constitution, but to a statute, to a law. And under the current law, indeed, for example, I think it's school board members, you have to give a reason that has to be justified in a court if challenged.
Well, how do you expect this to proceed? I gather that the road ahead would be long for this to actually go into effect.
Well, I guess I'm being an idealistic or naive professor in the sense that I would hope for a constitutional amendment that would ban all recalls. But that's probably just not pragmatic. It seems to me that we indeed have to look at the merits of this proposal, and that's that given that in Wisconsin an elected official who's convicted of a felony loses office, is this particular tinkering with the constitutional language worthwhile? And I suspect it's going to be a pretty close call because of the obvious scenario. Let's say somebody is accused of a felony, gets recalled, then gets acquitted in court, and they're out of office. Is that sort of fair? My general belief is that, you know, nobody's going to get away with anything. For example, if Governor Walker hadn't been recalled, then anyway his run for re-election would have been essentially a referendum on his record, including Act 10. And so I rarely see that there's ever a justification for a recall in general.
Do you think it's constitutional? I'm not a scholar of the Wisconsin Constitution, but tell me about, and you know, to say nothing of the bigger issues, but is it something that could be challenged legally?
I suspect not, in the sense that anything that's in the Constitution, by definition, is likely to be constitutional. Now, that sort of sounds like a tautology, but I suppose there are occasionally situations, maybe when there's a state constitutional amendment that, let's say, infringes on a federal constitutional language, that would probably be the most likely scenario where it could happen. Otherwise, constitutional amendments, by definition, are constitutional.
I guess that makes sense. All right, let's go to the calls now. We've got full lines. Sarah joining us in Manitowoc. Hey, Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. I am against the amendment. I think that there needs to be your procedure to keep things in a check and balance, and that people need to have this right to get rid of someone who is incompetent, abuses their power, or for some other, you know, egregious behavior. The procedure is not all that easy. It hasn't taken place all that often, and I think, you know, I think there does need to be a recall procedure in some extreme cases, you know, and it just seems like there's a lot of amendments coming down the way that's out of Madison lately that seem to curtail people's rights. And for a party that's in charge that doesn't want government interference, they seem to be having a far reach into everything.
Okay, thanks for the comment, Sarah. What would you say to that, Mordecai?
Well, I'm really glad she called because she made the case for why people like the ability to recall. And I guess in opposition, what I'd say is that I think recall has become too common in Wisconsin. Up until the 1970s, it was in the Constitution, it was in the statutes, but it was almost never heard of until a judge in Dane County got recalled. And then it became just sort of the currency of the day. That we've seen school boards and village boards sort of recalled or threatened to be recalled sort of at the drop of a hat. And so in that sense, I like what Sarah said, that in extreme cases, maybe there's a justification for it. But generally speaking, issues in politics are controversial, and then somebody has a record, and 2 years later, 4 years later, they run for re-election, they're held accountable. Nobody really gets away with anything.
Okay, thanks for that call, and we'll move next to Kyle joining us in Hazel Green. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm in favor of it. I know I was in college during the Scott Walker thing, so a lot of that was happening. I sort of got caught up in it, but once I look back on it, I think politicians do need, you know, like 2 or 4 years, and they shouldn't be afraid that they're going to get recalled if they do something that's not necessarily popular. Because sometimes that's good for our country in the long run. So I think it's a good idea that they don't get recalled because I think elections are for that purpose, for if we want those people in office or not.
So. All right. Thanks so much for the call, Kyle. And Mordecai, just to build on Kyle's argument, you know, we're in a very polarized era of government right now. That's a given. But we saw how damaging these recalls could be and how costly. Is there something to that argument that, you know, we don't have time for this or emotional capital?
Well, I'm really glad Kyle called because that means at least one of your listeners agrees with me. But I can tell you, some of your listeners know that before I became a professor, I was a state senator. And I can tell you that back in those long ago times of the 1980s, one of the most controversial issues was the drinking age. And I happen to come from the generation of the 60s, and I voted against increasing the drinking age. And I think if the culture of recalls had existed at the time, I probably would have been recalled. And As it turned out, 2 years later, at the end of my state Senate term, when I was running for re-election, the issue had faded, and I was successfully re-elected. So in that respect, Kyle is really putting his finger on it. Some issues are hot at the moment, but in the balance of the larger record of an incumbent, they're not necessarily fatal.
Can you put Wisconsin in context? How many other states have this recall mechanism?
Oh, God, I probably should have looked that up before we talked. I think it's about half. It's much more common in the later states, the western states, than it is in the eastern states, and very much came out of the progressive reforms of the 1910s and 1920s. So those later states have it much more often than those earlier states.
Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we will take Marie next in Bayview. Hi, Marie.
Hello there. Hi. I think that a lot of damage can be done in 4 years, as evidenced by Scott Walker. Anyway, there's got to be some way for the public to say, maybe not a recall, maybe a referendum, some way for people to say, no, we don't like that law.
Okay, well, thank you for your comment, Marie.
Right.
And, yeah, what do you think, Mike?
Well, I think Marie is referring to something that's, I think it's Ohio and maybe also Michigan, where there's the potential of, this sort of sounds odd, recalling a law. And I think what had happened in Ohio, and I hope somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, is there was something that was a little bit like Act 10 that got passed by the state legislature. It was a Republican legislature, Republican governor. And then following through on this recall of a law, there were enough petition signers to have a referendum on the law. And as a result, the law was overturned. I guess I'd prefer that to recalling individuals. But in general, I just like the idea of fixed terms.
Let's get a Facebook comment in. This is Sarah on Facebook who says, the recall or doing away with the recall as we have it now is like an employee saying, I'm putting it in my contract that you can't fire me, and then the employer has no choice in the matter.
Well, I suppose there's a situation where people do have a kind of incumbency in the private sector or in the unelected sector. But if we're talking about elected officials, the longest term in Wisconsin politics is 10 years, and that's the state Supreme Court. Otherwise, we have 6-year terms for judges, 4-year terms for governors and for state senators, 2-year terms for state reps. So it's not that they'd get to stay in office for a long time if they really abused their office. I think that 2, 4, 6 years is a short enough period to hold people accountable.
And Mordecai, one last question for you. How likely do you think it is that this amendment will pass in Wisconsin?
I think that the Republican majority would like to limit recalls, but I think that they're going to bump up against the comments that I made at the beginning of our conversation, and that's that short of actually eliminating the right of recall from the Constitution, that this kind of tinkering around the edges probably doesn't do much and might do a little bit of harm and sort of might take away the opportunity to do the kind of more fundamental revision that they'd like. So if I had to make a guess, and this is purely a guess, it's probably not going to reach the voters eventually.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Veronica.
We've been talking to Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee.